Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, there with the music of my good friend Carlos Guedes. It's Monday, October 16th, and we're halfway through October, if you can believe that. It's 2 weeks from Halloween. We usually do a show, a Halloween show, so we'll have more details on that coming up probably later this week. Well, I played the music of Carlos Guedes to start out because Carlos, of course, is from Venezuela, and we got some big news coming out of Venezuela here over the last 48 hours or so. They had an election down there that turned out to be an absolute farce, and we'll get into that in just a minute. Trump, 8 months of Trump. Can you believe that? We've had President Trump for 8 months. It's amazing. Sometimes it seems like it's longer than that, but he's been around. It'll be 8 months this week that President Trump was inaugurated. We're going to remember Clarence Thomas, who was confirmed to the Supreme Court this week back in 1991. And we're also going to chat a little bit today about the midterm elections, which will be coming up here in about a year and a half as well. And you can make an argument either way as to what's going to happen on these midterms. You can make an argument for the Democrats. You can make an argument for the Republicans. But we will see. I've got a few thoughts myself on how that will go. But let's begin with just a little note, just a quick note about Harvey Weinstein, who's been in the news quite a bit, as you know. Well, it turns out that he gave a lot of money. I think the figure is either $200,000 or $250,000 to the Clinton Foundation. And the foundation is not going to return it. And I find that very interesting, because you would think that the last thing in the world they want to have is his money. A lot of other Democrats are returning it. But I think the reason they're not giving it back is because I don't think the Clinton Foundation right now, or for that matter, the Clintons, have that much liquidity. Look, the foundation donations, if you will, pretty much dried up after the election. I mean, people stopped giving money to the foundation after the election. So they're running out of cash. They've had to make some layoffs. They've had to cut back quite a bit because they just don't have the money coming in, because what's the point of giving money to the Clinton Foundation? I mean, do you seriously think that people gave money to the foundation because they wanted to help little children? Maybe they did. Look, if you want to help the little children in Haiti or the victims of an earthquake, you give money to the Red Cross or to Catholic charities. People gave money to the Clintons because they were buying access. That's all they were doing, buying access. Well, once she's not going anywhere, or she loses an election, giving money to the Clintons is absolutely worthless. And that's the problem. They're running out of cash. They may be very low on cash, and that's probably the reason that they're not returning the money. But just remember this, another point that I tweeted about earlier today regarding Harvey Weinstein. If Hillary Clinton had won the election, Harvey Weinstein would have been one of the exclusive guests at one of her victory parties, maybe the one that she was at on election night. But she would have been one of her exclusive guests at a victory party. Just remember that. When you hear Mrs. Clinton show all this shock about what Harvey was doing. Let's talk a little bit about what just happened in Venezuela. They had an election over the weekend, and to everybody's great surprise, of course, Maduro won the election, or his collection of parties. There's a collection of parties, something called the Chavez Movement, and that collection of parties ended up winning the election, surprising everybody, because all the projections were that the opposition would win. And this whole thing is a farce. It's an absolute fraud. Now, Maduro needs a victory like this, because in a couple of weeks, he's going to have to make some very significant debt payments, and he doesn't have the money, or he doesn't have all of it. So he's going to have to reschedule probably some of these payments, which means that he's going to have to make deals maybe with the United States. We may own some of that debt. So Maduro really needed an election like this to create some legitimacy. The problem is this thing was so flagrant. This thing was so bad, top, as they say, that there's simply no way that anybody can believe these elections. So all I can tell you is, I think President Trump should immediately, absolutely immediately announce that we're not accepting the elections and that we're going to take further sanctions against the Maduro government, by the way, as well as Cuba, because Cuba was very much behind all of this and how they conducted the elections and all of that. Cuba is basically the country that enforces socialism in Venezuela, because the Maduro government would rather have Cubans do it than Venezuelans. They trust that the Cubans will be better at it. So the bottom line is that this is an opportunity for President Trump to take some sanctions against Venezuela and go also against Cuba and say to Cuba, look, we don't appreciate you subsidizing fraudulent elections like this. It could get very interesting because the opposition is not accepting the results. They've made it very clear they're not going to accept the results. And hopefully a lot of other countries join in. I'm not expecting a lot of countries to join in because Latin American countries have always had a sort of a fear of getting involved in other countries' elections. They think that if they do, then this could come back to haunt them later if they ever have a close election or something. So Latin American countries have always kept the distance from other countries when it comes to elections. This may be the opportunity to change that, because these elections in Venezuela were so over the top fraudulent that I think the time has come to really, really get very hard on Maduro. Not that we haven't before, but I think this is an opportunity for the entire world to say, you know what? No, we don't believe these elections. We don't believe it one bit. We don't believe one bit that these elections are real, and we're not going to accept them. Bottom line, we're not going to accept them. That's the way it should be. It may not be that way, but I think the United States should definitely act in that fashion. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Quevez, Heartbeat, and I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Nola Brasserie Authentic Cajun and Creole Restaurant, located at 1201 Main Street, downtown Dallas. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy jazz at 7:30 until midnight. So make your reservation today at 469-872-1820.
Make sure you support my friend Carlos, who, as I mentioned before, is from Venezuela. And Carlos has been playing around town, lots of different places. If you go to his Facebook page, you'll be able to see where he's at. He's not only playing at NOLA, but lots of other places at the same time. And everywhere he goes, the food is great, and the music, of course, is fantastic. Well, I mentioned that we are now celebrating 8 months of President Trump, and I thought maybe we'd take a look at some of the pluses and some of the minuses. Clearly, on the plus side, the judges have been absolutely phenomenal. The Trump administration obviously put Neil Gorsuch in the Supreme Court, but what you may not be aware of is all of the appointments that they're making below. I mean, they are really stacking the courts with people who believe in the Constitution, who understand the Constitution, and who believe that the Constitution should be respected, that it's not the role of judges to legislate. So I think that's one of the huge victories of the Trump administration so far, that is the judges. I think with respect to North Korea and with respect to Iran, they've done a very good job so far. And of course, we remember Syria, where he took military action after some allegations of gas against people, or chemical gas, were out there in the public, allegations of chemical gas. So I think those are some of the pluses. Obviously, the biggest problem so far, it's really more of a GOP problem. The GOP Senate in particular has not been performing very well. I think that's going to change. I really do, because I think the message is getting to the GOP Senate that they better get their act together, or they're going to be not necessarily lose the election, because as we'll talk about in a minute, the Republicans still have a huge advantage in 2018, particularly in the Senate. But I think some of these guys are going to get primaries if they don't get their act together. And so I think they're starting to get the message. I'm more optimistic now about the GOP Senate than I was a few weeks ago. So I would say those are the pluses and the minuses. The pluses would be a lot of it is foreign policy and the judges. The minuses are the fact that the GOP Senate has not done a very good job so far. Speaking of the midterm, they're coming up in about 15 months, and we're going to be doing a preview of the midterms with my friend Barry Castleman, the Prairie editor, the next time we have him on the program, which I think is going to be Friday. And we're going to be looking at 2018. Look, I think right now you can make a case for either party to do well. Historically, the party out of power does well, so that means the Democrats could do well. But because of the way the Senate is laid out and because of the Senate seats right now that are open, you can make a case that this could be a huge night for the GOP. I mean, the GOP could end up picking anywhere from 6 to 10 seats on election night because you've got seats in West Virginia, Indiana, Missouri, North Dakota, Montana. I mean, just those five right there, West Virginia, did I say that one, that come to mind. And those are places where the GOP should win, where Democrats are going to be defending a very difficult seat. So I think you can make a case that the GOP could do very well on election night. But again, it all depends on results. And the GOP Senate in particular better get its act together and start putting some trophies on the wall, if you will, because right now they're not doing very well. I think a lot of us are very disenchanted with the GOP, and they just can't seem to work together. I don't know what the problem is. They just can't seem to work together. It could be a leadership issue, although it's always easy to blame Senator McConnell. I'm not one of those who blames everything on him, but obviously it's like a baseball team. If you're not winning, you fire the manager. So maybe it's time to have a different leader. I don't know. But they got to get their act together. They got to do things a little bit better. I want to go back to October 1991. Some of you may remember this, the confirmation of Clarence Thomas. Clarence Thomas, of course, was nominated by the first Bush. It was a great nomination. It was an absolutely wonderful nomination, a great man who in many ways was the prototypical role model, if you will, of a black young man in the United States. He was born poor, educated himself, had a great grandfather in his life who was a great role model. I mean, he was just a great role model, to say the least. And it looked for a while that he would be confirmed rather easily. And then the Democrats, desperately looking for a way to get at him, came up with Anita Hill, and he had to answer all kinds of allegations from Anita Hill about this and that. And it ended up being one of those situations where the Democrats, they couldn't find anything on Clarence Thomas. So they dug up all of these things about Anita Hill. They were basically trying to bork him over abortion. They were basically trying to see how they could get him with respect to abortion. At the end, it didn't work, but I think it really poisoned the climate in the nomination process. And it's given us a nomination process right now that it's very ugly and frankly should not be this way. And that's the kind of thing that we got out of the Clarence Thomas hearings. He's turned out to be a great justice. He's turned out to be a man of great character. And it's just a shame that he was put through this, on this week in 1991. So he's been there now for 26 years. Amazing how time flies, Clarence Thomas. Well, we're going to leave you today with a little bit of music trivia. It was this week, this month in 1976, that a song by the name Disco Duck was number one in the country. Disco Duck was actually a joke that a DJ, I believe, in Ohio started this song called Disco Duck. He started the song in the studio, and he took it from there to the radio. It sold I don't know how many millions of copies. It ended up being one of the biggest hits of the year, and it was number one this week in 1976. Here's the interesting thing about it. I don't know if there's a connection, but while we were dancing the Disco Duck, while the whole country was into Disco Duck, we were also holding a presidential election. And 2 weeks later, we ended up nominating or electing Jimmy Carter, President of the United States. So within 30 days, Disco Duck was number one, and Jimmy Carter was President of the United States. Not exactly sure anybody believes that if I told them the story, but it was a true story. Disco Duck and Jimmy Carter within 30 days of each other. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you the next time. Join us for a little bit more talk on the radio. We'll talk to you later.